Salvation is the work of God whereby He provides for the forgiveness of our sins and brings us into a right relationship with Him. And that salvation experience is the result of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and our acceptance of that work by personal faith in Him. And God's goal for us, once we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we would begin to grow in that relationship with Him. Now, many people have the idea that once they're saved, that's what the Christian life is all about, that our sins are forgiven and we have an eternal home in heaven somewhere, and that's what the Christian life is all about. That is not what it's all about. What it's all about is being conformed to the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ, and salvation is the first step and only the first step in that spiritual growth. Now, there are many people who are satisfied, it appears, just to be saved. But His goal is that you and I would be conformed to His likeness, that is, that we would go on growing in that spiritual relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Now, in the physical world, when we think in terms of growing, if parents give birth to a baby and that baby only grows for 3 months, you know you have a major problem on your hand. And no matter how loving that child may be and how much those parents may love the child and accept that is from God, in their spirit they have to be grieved to some degree because that child is never going to grow up and mature. God the Father is greatly grieved when His children are born into the kingdom. That is, when a sinner is born into the kingdom of God and then just sort of stagnates. Now, one of the primary reasons for that stagnation is sometimes it is ignorance. Most of the time, it is sin. And so what I want to talk about in this message is testing our spiritual growth. And that is the title of this message. And the passage I want us to turn to is Ephesians chapter 4. Very clearly, this passage states we are to be growing in our relationship to Him and what God has done to make that growth possible. So if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's begin reading in the 11th verse. Paul is talking here about gifts and so forth, and one of the things he says is, and I want to be sure that you hear this clearly, he says in verse 11, and He gave some, that is, He gave to the church, to His body, some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. That is, the pastor is to be a pastor-teacher. He is to instruct the people of God. That is, He gave these gifted men to the church in order that, or for the purpose of, equipping the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, that is, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, that is, the sum of the qualities make Christ what He is. That's where He's headed with us in maturing us. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. He says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, the building up of itself in love. Now, that's a big mouthful Paul wrote in this Ephesian letter in this particular paragraph. What he is saying here in essence is this first, that is, that the spiritual growth of the believer is the primary work of the gifted men of God which He's given to the church. That is, the spiritual growth, growing in our relationship to Christ is the primary work and primary purpose of the work of the gifted men God has given to the church. He says now, in establishing the church, God gave to the church gifted men. That is, He gave some as apostles in those days in which Paul was writing in before. He gave some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. That is, it is the primary responsibility of the pastors to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you notice, there are four words in this passage that indicate that. He speaks in verse 12 of the building up of the body. He's talking about spiritually building them up. He says in verse 13, attaining to, growing in the unity of our faith and our knowledge of the Son of God. And then he says in verse 15, growing up in all aspects into Him. And then in verse 16, he says, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body. So when he talks about growing up the body, that is spiritually enriching us and growing us into Christ's likeness, he's talking about the whole body, his church. That can only happen as I grow, as you grow, as he grows, as she grows, as we grow individually. That's the way the body grows. And what he's saying in this passage is that God has, if you'll notice in verse 11, given these gifted men in order that the body may be equipped for service and grow. So what makes it possible for us to be equipped for service and to grow? Well, you say, well, you could send a man to seminary and that equips him. No, it doesn't. It doesn't necessarily equip him, because there are many people who have been to seminary and college or Bible training schools and Bible colleges to serve the Lord who have been very, very ill-equipped. And what makes a man or woman equipped to serve God as a leader, as he's talking about gifted men here in the body of Christ, is not necessarily just training. First of all, primary above everything else, is that that person has a genuine, ongoing, personal, growing relationship with Jesus Christ, which is resulting in their spiritual maturity. And that is to happen to every single believer, no matter who the person is. And so therefore, being ready to serve the Lord does not mean going to school. It means growing in our relationship to Jesus Christ and being equipped. The primary work of the pastors, listen, he says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That is, it is the primary responsibility of the pastors of the church. And I want to say this to many of you who have one pastor, or as in our fellowship, many pastors. You may want your pastor to run to the hospital every time you get sick. You may want him to stroke you and come by and visit you and be your best friend and be this and be that and be the other. And I want to tell you, if your pastor obeys the Word of God and carries out the work that God has given him to do and leads you into a growing relationship to Jesus Christ by expounding the Word of God, he can't do many things other than instruct you in the ways of God, because he's got to be in the Word, growing himself, understanding the Scriptures, expounding the Word, preparing the message in order to equip you for the service of God and to grow you up. And I think there are many pastors in smaller churches who are oftentimes criticized because they're expected to be man about town, do everything for everybody. And I'm here to tell you, there isn't a single verse in the Scripture that implies that. Now, I say that not because I'm complaining, because I don't have any complaints, but I'm saying that in behalf of many of you who are members of small churches or even large churches who expect your pastor to do everything. And I want to tell you, that isn't even a God-given command. He is to be a shepherd and a teacher. He says pastors and teachers, but he can't do everything. And the most important thing he can do for you is to instruct you in the ways of God, grow you up, and equip you spiritually to be a living, vibrant servant of the living God. And if he does that, then he's done his job very well. Now, so he says that God gives these gifted men in order that the body of the believers may be equipped. Now, notice what he says. He says, equipped for equipping of the saints for the work of service. That means the primary responsibility of the pastors is to instruct, to teach, to motivate, to bring about that kind of knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, that you will be motivated to go out and carry out work that a small group of staff members in a church could never do. And as a result of what is happening in our fellowship, all around the world, we are being able to preach and teach the Word of God. So it is working, and it needs to work in every single fellowship. Well, what he's saying in this passage is that God has given these gifted men, and the primary objective is spiritual growth. Now, let me define what I mean by spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not indicated simply because you and I become busier serving God. Spiritual growth is not indicated simply because I may sharpen my skills as a servant of God in some areas. Spiritual growth refers to a growing relationship, that is, a personal growing relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Because that is the most important thing in a person's life. Foremost above everything else is a personal relationship with Christ, which should be a growing relationship. And according to the Scriptures, he says, that is what God has ordained that should happen, and because it is His will. For example, He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that God predestined, that is, He predetermined before you and I were ever born, that every single person who is saved would be conformed to the likeness of Christ. That means shaped into His likeness, that is, into His character, not His looks, but His character, His makeup. And so how does that happen? He didn't say instantaneously and miraculously it would happen. He said that we would be conformed to His likeness. To be conformed means to be shaped into something. That is a process. It is an ongoing process. It is a continuing process. When you and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that was a one-time event in our life that should never and will never have to be repeated, saved only one time by the grace of God through faith in His atoning work at Calvary. But growing in the Christian life is a continuing, ongoing thing that God desires for us. He says in 1 Peter, for example, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, He says, speaking of the young believer, that is the one who has just been saved, He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. He says when a person becomes a Christian, He says they're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. That is, those things in Scripture that they can understand, the milk of the Word. When a baby is born, you don't feed him steak and spinach, but you feed him rather milk. And so the mother's on a schedule and the baby's on a schedule to be sure that child is well fed and fed properly. What He's saying in this passage in 1 Peter is that believers are to feast upon. They are to feast upon, meditate upon, absorb, work into their very being those things of Scripture that will grow them up. Where do we start? Well, we start with those things we understand when we are first saved. And our understanding of Scripture is very meager when we are first saved. That's why He says the milk of the Word, because after a while, it'll be the vegetables of the Word. And after a while, the real strong meat of the Word. And the more you and I grow in our relationship to Christ, the deeper our understanding and the clearer our understanding of Scripture. And so, He's simply saying that God has given the church gifted men to help make this happen in people's lives. He says, for example, in 2 Peter chapter 3, that last verse, He says, go on growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, at no point ought we become stagnant. Now listen carefully. In the Christian life isn't like some pond out there that gets stagnant. In the Christian life, we are either growing in our relationship to Christ or we are moving in reverse. There is no way in the Christian life to reach some level whereby there's where we are and that's where we stay. We don't go on and we don't reverse. Yes, you do. You're either growing into Christ-likeness or you're moving in the other direction. You cannot stay in one spot. Now, you say, well, sometimes I feel rather stagnant. Well, you may feel stagnant and that you're not growing, but that doesn't mean that you're just steadily staying where you are. That's just not the way the Spirit works. So what I want us to see here is that in the mind of God, your spiritual growth and mine is so important, He says, I'm going to gift men. I'm going to set apart men in order to teach and to instruct and to lead people and to show them how to grow in their relationship to Christ. Well, every single time we walk out here on Sunday morning, that's my goal, that's my objective, that's my purpose. And that is that God would use me in some way to stimulate, to motivate, to stir, to instruct, whatever is necessary, that you would deepen in your hunger to be more like Christ, that you would desire to grow in your likeness to Him, that you would desire to be conformed to His likeness, that you would not ever want to walk in here and walk out the same, but walk out with something with which you can live with, something that will help you, instruct you, equip you to be a better servant of God and to grow you deeper in your relationship and your intimacy to Christ. That's my goal. And so therefore, to be able to do that, it takes work on my part, laboring upon my part, trusting, listening, carefully preparing the message. But secondly, it also involves your coming to church, or you're listening to this particular program, or you're tuning in with an open heart, open ears, ready not only to hear information, but to apply that truth to your life. Hearing is one thing, but He says we are to hear and to apply, not simply to be hearers. Now then He says, in this particular passage, if you'll notice, He says, not only has God given those gifted men for that purpose, but then He tells us why. He tells us there's a secondary purpose for growing us up. You and I know that the primary purpose is to bring glory to God by our life. But notice he says here also that the spiritual growth of the believers is also for the believer's protection. Look at this. Verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, is what he's saying. He says, as a result of growing up and being equipped, what will happen is this. We will develop such a discerning spirit that we can discern truth from error. Now, when we were in Russia a few months ago, one of the biggest problems that they're having there in the church is the cults are moving in such vast numbers, financed absolutely unbelievably, and what they target young believers, they target those people who are already going to church, who have little or no knowledge of spiritual things, and in attempting to indoctrinate them with the error of their cultish ways. And they're making tremendous headway in doing that. Well, one of the primary reasons, listen, the only way a cult can get into a group of believers is if that group of believers is ignorant of the truth of the Word of God. He says, in order that you'll not be blown away by every wind of doctrine that comes your way, and listen, the trickery and the scheming of men. Now, that word trickery, the Greek word is kubia, from which we get our word cube. What is a dice but a cube? What he's referring to here is the manipulation of the gamblers, the trickery of the gamblers. When people say they're going to Las Vegas or some other place to gamble and to make money, I think, how stupid can you be? You know that the odds are set against you. When you and I deal with people who do not believe the Word of God, who do not want to adhere to the Scriptures, and you get into conversations with them, unless you're strong in the ways of faith, they will trick you and deceive you. Because their goal is to get you to believe what they believe, which is not the truth. And this is what he's saying in this passage. God has given gifted men to his body in order to raise up people who are growing in their relationship to Christ and are able to stand the onslaught and the attack and the deceitful, trickery, sly ways of those who would get us off base into some other kind of ideas. And I think it's interesting. Not long ago, I was speaking at a particular convention, and afterwards we had a luncheon, and these counselors were saying to me, you know, there are some groups. When these people walk into a counseling session, we know exactly where they come from. We know exactly what area of the body of Christ they come from, because they are so emotionally caught up in so many things, but their biblical foundation is so meager. And I was watching the other morning while I was exercising, and happened to turn to this particular program, and I thought, I'll listen a little bit of this, and here's what they were offering. Well, if you'll just do so and so, God will answer your prayers. You will not be sick. You will learn. You will be prosperous. And on and on and on and on and on it went of what God was going to do. And let me tell you something. The kind of theology that you hear that promises you, if you believe enough and do enough, you will not be sick. You'll never be poor. You'll never be in need. God will always make you prosperous. Everything you want, all you've got to do is just send me some seed money faith and I'll just turn it into something good. I'm here to tell you, mark it off. And I'll tell you why you mark it off. Because Jesus talked about the cross, sacrifice, dying to self, and all the rest, and he didn't promise to give me everything my flesh wants, and thank God he doesn't. Because if he gave us everything our flesh wanted, it'd destroy all of us. That is not biblical. It appeals to the flesh. It appeals to human desires. It's just not biblical. And when people are trained in the ways of God, they're able to discern the difference. And so what he's saying in this passage is, the reason God wants to grow us up is not only to give glory to himself, but to protect us from error. And I'm here to tell you there are lots of people out there who are trying to sidetrack the people of God. Now, that brings us to a third thing that I want to say and where I want to spend the rest of the time, and that is in this whole idea of the spiritual growth of the believer and how you and I can evaluate whether we're growing spiritually or not. Now, the earlier part of this year, was asked sort of thinking about this in my own life and trying to evaluate my own spiritual growth, because you see, you can't just take it for granted. Because you're a Sunday school teacher and having to study your lesson every week and preparing a lesson and teaching it doesn't mean that you're growing spiritually. Well, just because I spend hours during the week preparing for a message and come and preach three times on Sunday, that doesn't mean I'm growing spiritually. It doesn't mean that at all. And so I began to ask myself, Lord, I want to check up on myself. How would I do it? And so as I began to think about in my own life, how do I measure my spiritual growth? How do I evaluate whether I'm growing or not? I came up with a series of things that work for me. Now, I want you to listen carefully so you'll not misunderstand me. I am not saying that my list is sufficient and adequate for everybody. I'm simply saying that this list is at least a start to help you evaluate your spiritual growth in light of what the Word of God says. There are many things I could add to this. And I did this for myself to check up on my own spiritual growth, and I want to simply give you this same list, and you can add to or subtract whatever you choose. Now listen carefully again. God does not work in the very same way in everybody's life. He does not work in the very same way at the very same time in everybody's life. So whereas here's a young believer who's just been saved, you would not expect all these things to be true immediately in that person's life. But as we go along in the Christian life, one of the ways that I can evaluate whether I'm growing or not is by this list of things that I think God gave me to check up on myself. So I want to ask you to get a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper and write them down. And I'm going to say them very precisely so that there will be no commentary until the statement is made, and then I may comment on each one of them. But what we're talking about now is how do I evaluate my spiritual growth? And so I want to begin by making this statement at the beginning of each one of them. We know we are growing in our relationship to Christ when? And then I want to answer that when. We know that we're growing in our relationship to Christ when? And so if you have a pen and paper, let's begin. We know that we're growing in our relationship to Christ when we are becoming increasingly aware of our sinfulness and our weaknesses. When we are becoming increasingly aware of our sinfulness and our weaknesses. Now, how is that true? Well, if I'm growing in my personal relationship with Him, what is happening is I'm becoming more discerning. That means I'm being able to see myself in a clearer way than I was beforehand. And one of the things that happens in the Christian life, and I used to think it was opposite, and as I read the biographies of men and women of God who've made a real difference in the kingdom of God, what I've discovered is that the older they get, not the better they think they are, not the more adequate they feel, but rather the more inadequate they feel and the more things they see in their life that they had not seen before. So growing in the spiritual life, we know we're growing when we become aware of our sinfulness, more aware of our sinfulness, and when we become more aware of our weaknesses. That is, things that we think, well, I can handle that and I can handle this. One of the signs of our spiritual growth is, God, I'm going to have to trust you. I'm totally relying upon you. That is not a sign of weakness. It's ultimately a sign of strength. But it is an awareness of our weaknesses and our inadequacies. So I want to encourage you to evaluate that one. Secondly, we are growing in our relationship with Christ when our response to sin is quick and followed by genuine repentance. When our response to sin in our life is quick and it is followed by genuine repentance. You see, one of the evidences that I'm growing in my relationship to Him is that my grief level is very low. And that is, when I sin against God, immediately I'm smitten with conviction and I want to deal with it. I don't want to wait till tonight to deal with it, or till tomorrow, or next week. You see, failing to deal with sin means I am resisting God at that moment, or I may be rebelling against it. And so one of the evidences of our growth is we deal with sin quickly as soon as the Spirit of God convicts us. And secondly, it is followed by genuine repentance. I don't mean by, Lord, now you know we're not perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. God, I know I sin. No, genuine repentance. God, I genuinely repent of that. I turn away from that. I don't want that in my life, and I choose not to have that in my life. Genuine repentance means a turning about in my spirit, in my life, in my conduct, that there will be a difference. Number three, we know that we're growing in our relationship with Christ when our spiritual battles are becoming more fierce, when our spiritual battles are becoming more fierce, and yet we're still rejoicing. Well, you would think the older we get in the Christian life and longer we live, that spiritual battles should be less and less, and we should be more and more victorious, and things ought to get easier. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not the way life is. Think about this. As you and I grow in our relationship to Christ and become more and more conformed to Him, what does Satan do? He intensifies the battle. He intensifies his attacks because he knows he can't do anything to your spirit, your soul. That is, you're going to heaven. That's a settled issue. But he can cause a lot of damage while you're living here. Wreck and ruin your testimony, cause you a lot of heartache. But see, one of the ways that you and I know we're growing in our relationship to Him is when the battles become more and more fierce, and yet you and I are able to rejoice even in the fierceness of those spiritual battles. Well, let's move on. Number four, we know that we're growing in our relationship to Him when we begin to see trials and temptations as opportunities for growth. When we begin to see trials and temptations as opportunities for growth. Now, usually, what do we do when we are hit with some trial or temptation? What's our normal response? We do what? We complain. Oh, dear God, why have you allowed this? And why is this happening? And why does these things happen to me? We are growing in our spiritual life when we can see these difficulties and hardships in our life as opportunities for spiritual growth. Because if you want to meet a real saint, if you want to meet somebody who's strong in the Lord, you want to meet somebody who has great faith, and you want to meet somebody who can stand the battles of life, you show me somebody who has been tried, tempted, tested, beaten up upon in every way possible, and I'll show you someone who has come through the difficulties and hardships, and it is coming through those things that makes us strong and mighty in spirit. And so people who want to live the Christian life and they want everything to go their way, all the money they want, all the ease, all the comfort, all the pleasure, no sickness, no heartache, no conflict, no burden, just floating into heaven. I want to tell you, heaven is not filled with floaters. It's filled with battlers, warriors who have been through the warfare.
And I can tell you that this has been one of the most trying years of my life. I believe one of the most difficult years of my life in all of my 60. This has been one of the most difficult, but I can tell you that I can rejoice in the Lord because I can see that God is using these difficulties and hardships, and I see them as opportunities for growth. And one of the things the Lord has taught me, and I hope I never forget, and I believe I have learned it, that any time there's hardship and trial and tribulation, difficulty and temptation, whatever it might be, my first response is, God, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to teach me? And the exciting thing is that when these things happen and I can get in the Word and find out what God's up to, I can't wait to get here on Sunday morning to tell you what I learned. Because I want you to understand what I understand. Not that I think I understand more than anybody else. I'm just simply saying in my own spiritual journey and in my own walk, I am learning that trials and difficulties and hardships are God's greatest opportunities, the most fascinating, exciting, thrilling growth opportunities that I know of. Because everything is sort of going my way, whatever way that is. And I mean, you know, there's no trial, no hardship, everybody's fine. Somehow, I think I've been in so many battles, when I get in one of those positions, I think, God, let's bring on something. I mean, let's get something going. Because I am not satisfied just hanging in here with everything going my way. You say, well, do you like warfare? No, I don't like it. But I love the results of it. Because the result is that God grows us and strengthens us, deepens us, and enriches us in our life. So if we're going to grow in our relationship to Him, then, my friend, we'll begin to see these trials and temptations as opportunities for growth and not complain. Well, number five. We are growing in our relationship to Him when we begin to view service to Him as a high honor and not as a burden. When we are able to view our service for Him as a high honor and not a burden. When I hear people say, oh, I've got to go to church and I've got to teach this and I've got to lead this group and I've got to usher or I've got to sing in the choir, or I've got to do this, I've got to, then something's wrong. But thank God that you've been saved. Thank God that you have the wonderful privilege of serving the Lord God. And you see, I know I'm growing in my relationship to Him when I am counting even the difficult times of service, as a high honor before the Lord God and not complain about it, not a burden, not a hardship. Does that mean that sometimes you don't feel the weight and the heartache of it all? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that ultimately we count it an honor to serve God. And the burdens and the hardships that go with that, it's okay. It's okay because the Lord is worthy of our service and worthy of our honor. Well, we know that we're growing in the Lord again, growing in our relationship to Him, when we are able to view everything that comes our way as being from God. When we're able to view everything that comes our way as being from God. And I think this is very important in a person's spiritual growth. I know I'm growing when I can view everything in my life as coming from God. That means the good and it means the bad. You see, because there are many good things that happen to us, but sometimes bad things happen. Evil things happen. We become the victims, so to speak, in human terminology, of certain criticisms or persecutions or hardships or trials. When I can see everything is coming from Him, I know that I'm growing. I went through a real difficult time in my own personal life when I could have ended up being bitter and resentful and hostile and angry and probably no longer used of God. But God just showed me on my face back in the prayer room one day, the key to walking through this victoriously and the key to triumphing over this is simply this. You look at every single thing that happens is coming from me. And I remember thinking, but God, it's not coming from you. So, yes, it is. You view it as coming from me. It couldn't happen unless I allowed it. Am I not sovereign? Do I not have the key to the gate of your life? Am I not the one who unlocks it and locks it? Am I not your protector and the sovereign? Yes. You see everything from me. If you will see everything from me, no matter what happens and through whom and how it happens, you're going to be able to see it from me, and you're knowing that I am going to turn it out to good. Romans 8:28 works all the time. Once in a while, I have to remind him of what he says. Lord, now here's what you said, and I believe it. I don't feel it today, but I'm going to take it your word because you never made a false statement. That all these things that are happening to me are turning out for my good and for your glory. I know that I'm growing in Him when I'm able to see everything is coming from Him. Well, number 7. We know that we're growing in our relationship with Him when we sense that our faith is growing stronger. When it takes more and more to ruffle us. When it takes more and more to unsettle us. When things that used to bother us don't bother us anymore. When tests that come our way, we can face them confident and boldly, whereas 6 months ago or a year ago, we could not have. When our faith level rises and we're getting stronger in our faith and we're able to trust Him for more and in more and in the midst of more, we're able to rest in Him. We're able to talk to Him with confidence and assurance and boldness. He has everything under control. We're not fretting and fuming over things we used to fret and fume over. Why? Because we know that it is His schedule, and our life is based upon what He's doing and not what we are doing for ourselves. Well, we know that we're growing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, number 8, when we desire to spend more time in genuine praise and worship. When we desire to spend more time in genuine praise and worship. You see, if you and I really love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to want to praise Him. And there are many people, we say, for example, we're going to have a praise service, they stay at home. Somehow, they haven't quite figured out that if you're in love with someone, you want to tell them. And the same people who may stay at home from a worship service would say to their husband or wife, honey, I love you, you're number one, sweetest thing in this world, you're an angel, nobody in the world like you, God bless you. Well, what about telling God that? Doesn't Jesus deserve a little of that? I mean, goodness. Mercy, kindness, love, blessings, answered prayer. I mean, it all comes from Him. Doesn't He deserve a little? I love you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. I worship you. I adore you. There's nobody like you. You're my sovereign. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my life. You're my Christ. You're the Messiah. We could go on and on. Doesn't He deserve a little bit of that? He deserves a whole lot of it. In fact, I'll tell you how much of it He deserves. He says when we get to heaven, we're going to spend a lot of time praising Him and worshiping Him. Read the book of the Revelation. Those saints during the tribulation period that are already in heaven, they're just praising God and worshiping Him. They're in love. And when you're in love, you can't keep it to yourself. One of the ways that I know I'm growing in my relationship to Him is I want to praise Him. I want to love Him. I want to express it. I'd love to put my arms around Him and hug Him close and tell Him that I love Him, thank Him for all the good things He sends in my life, and even the bad that He's so sovereign He can turn them into something good. You see, there are not many folks who are in love. And you don't have to touch somebody to be able to love them. There is a loving intimacy that is beyond anything this human earth, this earth has. The closest thing to it is a husband and a wife. But that isn't even as close as the intimate relationship that a person can have with Jesus Christ, who is living on the inside of us and can love us and be loved by us no matter what's going on, no matter where you are. And see, I know that I'm growing in my relationship with Him when this is true. And that is when I really and truly want to spend more time praising Him and worshiping Him, whether it is in songs or prayer or just talking to Him. Well, number 9, we know that we're growing in our relationship with Him when our desire to obey Him is becoming more intense and sin is less and less attractive to us. We know that we're growing in our relationship with Him when our desire to obey Him becomes more and more intense and sin becomes less and less attractive to us. Now, friend, you can mark that one down. You can put a circle around it, underline it, or color it in red, yellow or purple. Doesn't make any difference. Mark it down. One of the basic, solid, foundational evidences that you and I are growing in our relationship to Christ is the intensity with which we feel this desire to be obedient to Him, to follow Him, to do exactly what He wants us to do, no less and no more. And that our attraction to the world and the appeal of the world is becoming less and less, and a desire to be obedient to Him becomes more and more. You see, a person who is in their Christian walk and is having more and more problems in the relationship with the world and their desire to participate in the things of the world, listen, if the appeal is getting to them and they're becoming more and more attracted to the world, there's something wrong in their spiritual walk. Friend, when you get a real good glimpse of Jesus, there isn't anything in this world to compare with Him. Nothing. You can travel all over this world, you can have all the money you want, everything else in life you want, and if you don't have Christ, there's something missing, and what's missing is what life's all about. And so the more intense my desire to be obedient to Him and the less attraction that the world has to offer, that is a good sign that I know I'm growing in my relationship to Him. Well, number 10, we know that we're growing in our relationship to Him when we are eager to share with others what Christ is doing in our life. When we are eager to share with others what Christ is doing in our life. You see, if you never talk about what Jesus Christ is doing in your life, ask yourself this question. Is He doing anything? When I say to someone, what's Jesus doing in your life these days? What's that? Oh, well, what's going on in your spiritual life? Well, I'm going to First Baptist. Friend, that doesn't mean that you're growing in the Lord. You see, if I'm really growing in my relationship to Him, I want to talk about it at a drop of a hat. I'm ready to talk about it. And if a believer can be questioned about what's going on in their Christian life and they don't have something that's current, don't tell me, well, I got saved back yonder about 42 years ago and I've been just trusting the Lord all these years. Anything happened since then? Not much. Well, then there's something wrong. You see, I don't mean you've got to look for a miracle and have some miracle. You've got to say, well, God worked this miracle yesterday and this one yesterday. No. But my friend, if you and I are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him, something fresh is going on all the time. Something's going to be going on that you and I had to talk about. Now, I know that some people are not as outgoing as others, and I'm not saying that you ought to be one of these frilly people who's always out here saying, oh, let me tell you about Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus. Some of that just a lot of huff. I'm talking about genuine experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got to talk about Him. I've never met two people in love who didn't want to tell somebody. You've got to talk about it. And if you're growing, you want to share what Christ is doing in your life with other people. Well, number 11, we know that we're growing in our relationship to Him when we are experiencing an increasing awareness of His presence. When we are experiencing an increasing awareness of His presence. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, while we think in terms of His being in heaven, He made this so clear. He says, I am abiding in you, and you're abiding in me. You and I are indwelt with the very presence of Christ through the ministry and the presence of the Holy Spirit who abides in us. Jesus said, I'm in you through Him. You see, one of the ways we can know that we're growing in Him is that we're becoming more and more aware. Now watch this. We're becoming more and more aware, not just when you're praying, not just when you're reading the Bible, not just when you're at church, but on your job, among your friends, when you're alone, when you're traveling, no matter what's going on, you are becoming more and more aware that you're under the umbrella of Christ, standing upon the rock of Christ, surrounded by the walls of Christ, immersed in Him, baptized in Him, filled with Him, overflowing with Him. Christ is everywhere in your life. And you see, the idea that a person has who's a Christian, well, you know, Lord, I'm down here and you're up there. Forget that kind of thinking. While God the Father sits upon His throne, and Jesus sits at His Father's right hand making intercession for you and me, the Spirit of God, who is also one of the persons of the Trinity, is living on the inside of you, living out through you the very life of Christ. Listen to this. We have a person of the Trinity on the inside of us. And since the three of them are one, if you have one, you've got it all. And you see, that's why Paul said, when you have Christ, you have everything. When you don't have Him, you don't have anything that has an eternal value to it. And so ask yourself this question. What has to go on in your life to make you aware of Christ? Do you get up in the morning thinking about Him? Before you get out of bed, you go to bed at night thinking about Him? You go to sleep thinking about Him? You say, well, you can't think about Jesus all the time. Yes, you can. You say, how can I do my work and think about Him? Because, listen, while you may not be on a conscious level always thinking Jesus, 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 on a subconscious level, just beneath the consciousness of what you happen to be doing at that moment, is this awesome spiritual awareness of His presence. He's just there. And you shouldn't even think about your life apart from Him. Because, you cannot take one more breath, nor can your heart beat one more time apart from the indwelling presence of Christ if you're a child of God. One of the evidences that we're growing is that we're becoming more and more aware of His presence. That while we think in terms of Christ being in heaven, we also think in terms of His being by our side, walking with us moment by moment. It doesn't make any difference whether you're playing with your friends, or whether you're out in some particular event that you wanted to go to, or whether you're in church. It doesn't make any difference where it is. Here's the truth. You should be no more aware of Christ sitting in this pew than you are on your job. You say, well, there's so many distractions, but listen, you're indwelt by Him. And if you will ask Him, He will teach you how to live in this ever-growing, increasing awareness that you're walking in His presence. I'm walking around in air. I know I am because I'm breathing it. Well, I can't see it, but I'm aware of it. More important than that is I am walking in the atmosphere, in the very holy presence of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does that have to do with my spiritual growth? Because the more aware of that I am, the less sin I'm going to tolerate. And the less appeal the world's going to have. And the more sensitive I am to be obedient to Him. Well, I also know that I'm growing in my relationship with Him. Listen to this. We are growing in our relationship with Christ when we jealously guard our private time of prayer and Bible reading. When we jealously guard our private time of prayer and Bible reading, our devotional life, it has a priority. You see, a person who can go 2 or 3 days and not read the Bible or not pray except some old simple prayer at night, and the Lord bless me, myself, and I, and protect me through the night, and give me what I need, those kind of prayers, I don't even think they even get to the ceiling. What is that? That's just a gimme quick kind of You know, I'm not interested in God or Christ. I'm just interested in something he has to give. And if he mailed it, I'd be just as satisfied. So that's not what it's all about. I know I am growing in my relationship to him when I jealously guard the time I spend in his word. When I want to read the scriptures, I want to know what he has to say. I want to know, I want to be convicted of sin. I want to become aware of failures. I want to be aware of how he works and how he operates in his ways. When the word of God, when I'm feasting upon the word of God, and you see, when people say, well, I read the Bible once in a while, but I just don't understand it. My friend, if you stop reading it because you don't understand it, then you are not growing in your spiritual life, and I can tell you, you're backslidden. You say, you're judging me. No, the word of God is. This is the word of God. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Friend, you absolutely cannot grow in your relationship to Christ with a closed Bible. It doesn't work. It doesn't make any difference if you got 20 degrees from 40 different seminaries. It wouldn't make any difference. We grow in our relationship with him as we open this book and as we begin to feast upon the word. Because these are God's personal letters written to you and to me in these epistles. Paul wrote them to the people of his day. He wrote them in a loving heart, guided by the Holy Spirit to instruct them and teach them and encourage them. And I need it just as much as the Philippians, the Colossians, the Galatians, the Thessalonians. I need it. We all need it just as much as they needed it. How do we grow? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, I want you to think about something and think about this carefully. If you have no real desire to read the Bible, if you have no real strong desire to understand it, if you have no real strong desire to follow it, mark this one down. You are not growing in your relationship to Christ. Friend, I don't care how many Sunday school classes you teach or what you do and how much you give. If you do not have a desire for the Word of God, a desire to know the ways of God, and getting in the Word, then you're not growing in your spiritual life. And you're not stagnant, you're drifting backwards, away from the things of God. He says, listen to this, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Light into what? Light into the ways and the mind and the heart of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to develop a relationship with somebody, I've got to know them. You cannot develop an intimate relationship with anybody whom you don't know. And that relationship deepens and is strengthened as we know and understand the other person and are open and transparent to that person ourselves. That's what builds relationships. Well, number 13 and the last one. We know that we're growing in our relationship to Christ when we prefer to spend more time with him than with others. That is, when we prefer to spend more time with him above all others. Let's put it that way. When we prefer to spend more time with him above all others. That is, does that mean that we don't want companionship with someone else? No. Doesn't mean that we want to be recluses. But it means that our desire to know him, to fellowship with him, to be with him, that our desire for him exceeds our desire for all other human beings. That is no excuse for not serving God. It is no excuse for not being a friend. It is no excuse for not being the kind of person we ought to be. Because you see, think about this. The more in love I am with him, and the more time I spend with him, here's what happens. The more, listen to this, the more valuable I become to every single person I meet, and the more valuable I become to all of my friends. Because you see, the more time we spend with him, the more like him we become. And the more like him we become, the more valuable we become to him and his purpose for our life. Well, that's a pretty good long list and rather demanding, but the truth is, if I'm really going to grow in him, those things are going to be true in my life. Now, I want to say again, that list does not mean that everybody should live up to my list. I want you to get that down. But I can say this, I don't think there's anything on there that's unbiblical, nor wrong, nor would not be to your advantage to make that a part of yours. You may want to add to that. I could add about giving. The more I'm growing my spiritual life, I'm giving more. Well, that's going to be true. The more I love him, the more I'm going to give. So there are a lot of things that are just just backlashes of beautiful results in our life when we're growing with Him. And I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to take that list and get by yourself and get on your knees with an open Bible, whatever scripture you want to turn to, maybe this one. And just say, now, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to enable me to be absolutely honest about this list. You have a pencil or pen with you. And you put a check by the ones that you think are true of your life and a cross mark by the ones that are not. It doesn't mean, now listen carefully, it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're less than. It doesn't mean that you're not growing if all of these things are not true. Because now I'm going to say this again. Everybody is not in the same place in their spiritual growth. God is not working in the same way with everybody at the same time. This list is merely a suggestion. This list is a starter list for you. You can add what you want to add. But I challenge you to get on your face and ask God to show you how many of these things are going on in your life. You may come up and say, well, Lord, hallelujah, I'm doing better than I thought I was. Well, praise God. Spend some time thanking Him. Or you may come up and say, Lord, I just don't believe I could be so insensitive to you that so much of this is not even happening in my life. Or you may conclude, Lord, I'm a long ways from where I ought to be, but God, I commit myself that my priority in life is to grow in my understanding of who you are and to fulfill your ultimate purpose, which is to be conformed to your likeness. I can tell you this, you take that list, you begin to let God work those things in your life, and I'm here to tell you, you're going to grow in your intimate relationship to Him. God is going to conform you to His likeness. He's going to work things in your life. And listen, I want to warn you, you may have more trials, more heartaches, more burdens, more things you don't want. But boy, look at the end result. Because it's those things that polish us, sand us and sift us and prune us that make us like Him. So the ultimate question is this. Do I want to be like the Master? Then I need to measure how I'm doing every once in a while, and I need to correct those things that are inadequacies. Father, we love you and praise you that you didn't give us a life to simply be saved and sit down and wait till heaven's doors open for us, but rather this exciting, ongoing, challenging experience of growing in our relationship with you. And Father, my heart's desire today is that every single person who listens to this message may have stirred within them by the Holy Spirit this yearning, this desire to want to know you, want to develop an intimate relationship, no longer be satisfied with just status quo, so to speak, or some stagnated kind of relationship, but rather to be growing and deepening in their understanding and in their walk. We love you, precious Jesus. Dear Father, Holy Spirit, thank you for working in our life daily. We want you to send into our life whatever is necessary to conform us to your likeness. And we'll thank you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.